From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen up, all you godless heathen Democrats out there. This is a Jesus-loving country, and that comes from your commander-in-chief, Pastor Donald J. Trump. Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I hope you had a great evening last night. And we got a lot to talk about today. Of course, early this morning, they had the National Prayer Breakfast. May I just ask a question? And I don't mean to get excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention, but I've got a question. And I know, Dieter, your father is a pastor. So maybe you can offer some insight here into what I'm about to ask. Why do we have to have these prayer breakfasts at the crack of dawn? Why can't we do it at, like, lunch or 5 or 6 in the afternoon? Why do we have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray?
Because God meets with his people in a more beautiful way before the crack of dawn.
You see, I'm not buying that.
You know, the camp meetings, you remember the tent revival meetings, everybody has to meet in the morning. There's your prayer meetings, and that typically takes place at 6 in the morning.
It's hard. And you know why? I can't tell you where this happened, but this actually happened. It was one of these, like, men's Bible study, right? So I was invited to attend a men's Bible study. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I want to fellowship with the guys and hang out and do guy stuff. And the selling point is we're going to have homemade biscuits and gravy. And I'm like, boom, I'm there. Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like on a Thursday, like a work day, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you got to get up and you got to, man, I just sound like the worst sin in the world. Don't you got to get up and get dressed and haul yourself off to church. Wow.
Here's your small little violin, Todd.
I sound like a heathen.
Yeah, you do.
But I'm just wondering why we can't, and then you got daylight saving time, and it's tough. I'm just saying it's tough.
You're saying you're not going to Sunday school because you've got worship service, and then the true believers go to Sunday school.
Well, what about a national prayer brunch? Why can't we do that?
Baptist martinis, what else do we need?
Those are very nice. Yeah. You got the 72 virgin daiquiris there we were talking about yesterday. Anyway, I am curious, though, why it's always in the morning. I there may be some sort of a theological reason.
Because it sets the table for your day.
Because if you don't go, you hate Jesus. Mm-hmm. Do you hate Jesus, Todd? Sorry. No, I don't hate Jesus. All right, then get your butt up out of bed.
You'll love him more at 6 in the morning.
All right, Jesus. Yeah. All right, I was just asking. So anyway, President Trump today, having the big national prayer breakfast, is it not refreshing, ladies and gentlemen, to have a president who loves God and who is defending people of faith? Now, the president today had to issue an executive order. And I found this executive order to be incredibly troubling. And it wasn't the executive order. I mean, the fact that the president had to issue an executive order specifically protecting Christians, people of faith. He had to issue an executive order protecting religious liberty, which, quite frankly, is actually enshrined in our founding documents in the Bill of Rights. So what does it say about what this country has been through over the Barack Hussein O'Biden era that we could not practice our faith freely in this country, that Christians and Jews were attacked on a regular basis. And I'm so humbled that President Trump would do something like this. And the fact that it had to be done, that's what's really shocking to me. But the days of the FBI and these goon squads of Democrats busting down the front doors of the homes of pro-life families in America, those days are over. That's not going to happen under this presidency. The days of the FBI agents going to spy on the Catholics and trying to get priests to turn on their flock. Do you understand how devious and nefarious these FBI agents were? They were literally trying to convince the Catholic priest to spy on their congregations. So let's just say that you had a problem and you wanted to go visit your priest. They wanted the priest to then, after you left the office, go to, do they still use the confessionals? I don't know. If they do, I mean, you're pouring your heart and soul out through that little confessional booth. And then after you leave, the priest is calling the FBI headquarters to rat you out. That was going on. The idea that all of our rights were under attack, going back to the days, and a lot of people forget this, but I wrote a book about it called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And you should get a copy of this book and read every single word of it. There was a time in this country, just a few years ago, when they were literally shutting down churches, where they were arresting preachers. In Idaho, they literally arrested Christians who just simply gathered to pray in violation of the COVID rules. They were arrested and charged and fined for singing hymns and spiritual songs. Churches across the state of California were fined tens of thousands of dollars because they refused to shut down their churches. In Mississippi, of all places, they actually had elderly people gathering in a parking lot, and they had set up the church parking lot like it was some sort of a drive-in movie theater, and you had the preacher outside, and he was delivering the sermon on the PA system. This is in Podunk, Mississippi, and you literally had the police showing up. The police raided the church, and they targeted every single person in the privacy of their cars. Those days are over, ladies and gentlemen. What they did to the Christians, it was persecution. It was persecution. Hear me on that. It was persecution. So God love President Trump, and the reason why, and I just want to step back for just a moment here. The reason why things are going so amazingly well in this country right now, and I can't tell you. I was down at the Kroger yesterday, and I was talking to somebody, and they made the comment about, man, can you believe how quickly things are changing in this country? And my response, I think, surprised me, because I said, yes, I absolutely can. And you want to know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because I believe that, to borrow a phrase from the great Blues Brothers, one of the greatest movies of all time, one of the greatest soundtracks of all time, but to quote the Blues Brothers, I believe President Trump is on a mission from God. I truly do. And I do believe, and I wrote about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, is that God has given our country one more chance, just one more chance to get it right. And that is why I believe God delivered President Trump from the hands of not one but two assassins. That's why I believe that God intervened and stopped the Democrats from stealing the 2024 presidential election. And that is why I believe at this very moment, every single one of President Trump's cabinet nominees are going through and they are being approved without issue. Because God is, I just believe that God is in all of this. And I know that the people over, you know, the woke Christian magazines and publications are going to be all over me for saying this, but this is my view from the pew belief that God is in control. And that God is blessing America right now. And this morning, when President Trump was up there and he was talking at the prayer breakfast, he said some things that really impressed me. Let's go to cut number five, please.
Honestly, it changed something in me. I feel even stronger. I believed in God, but I feel much more strongly about it. Something happened. So thank you.
Yeah. So this was the president talking about the assassination attempt in Butler County, Pennsylvania. And I've seen a changed man after this. After that incident, I just saw a changed man. And I don't know if you've seen it, if you've noticed it in the president's remarks. I mean, the president is still the president. He's still the same guy, tells the same off-color jokes. He's got great dance moves, still the whole nine yards. He is still the president. But there's something different, and you can see it in his eyes, and you can see it in his mannerisms, and especially when he stops, and you can tell that he's not joking around, and this president has a ferocious sense of humor, so witty. But when he's talking about this kind of stuff, you kind of sense that there is something much deeper going on here. So the president goes on, and he's talking about religion and why religion is so vitally important in life. Cut number 11.
the element, the everything that's going to be happy. People of religion are going to be happy again. And I really believe you can't be happy without religion, without that belief. I really believe it. I just don't see how you can be. So let's bring religion back. Let's bring God back into our lives. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Great honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. No, thank you, sir. Thank you. And I think he's onto something here. I don't when I see people who are perpetually unhappy, usually they're godless heathens. They don't mean to be, but that's what they are. I mean, they don't know God. They don't know Christ. They don't have religion. And therefore, they're, you know, godless heathens. But and that's, I don't mean to say that in a derogatory sense, even though I do, but I really don't here, because, you know, you don't have to be a godless heathen. You can come out of all of that. And that's what Trump was saying, right? I mean, has that been your impression that people who go to church, people who believe in God, are just happier people? I believe I'm with the president on that. So by the way, so the president goes on in the course of this incredible speech this morning. The president announced that he's creating a presidential commission on religious liberty. Cut 13.
I'm announcing that I will be creating a brand new presidential commission on religious liberty. It's going to be a very big deal, which will work tirelessly to uphold this most fundamental right. Unfortunately, in recent years, we've seen this sacred liberty threatened like never before in American history. There's nothing happened like the last 4 years. What's happened with so many things have gone bad. But religion, what they've done, and the persecution that they've executed have been just horrible. For example, most of us would not have believed it possible that a grandmother with a severe medical condition, quite elderly woman, would be put in jail for praying here in America. She was put in jail because she was praying. But we're joined today by a woman who was 75 years old. Paulette Harlow was sentenced to 2 years in prison for peacefully praying outside of a clinic, charged under an obscure law that hadn't been used in years, selectively weaponized against Christians by the previous administration. I never understood how we won with evangelicals, we won with Christians by a lot. But even that little bit that they got, I said, who are the people that voted for them? Who would vote for them? They were terrible. They were terrible to you, and they were terrible to people of religion, all religions.
It's true, but specifically the Jews and the Christians. They were always hands-off with the Muslims. They never touched the Muslims. But when it came to the Jews and the Christians, we were fair game. And as horrible as it is, and the president's right, they actually threw elderly grandmothers into prison. This is what Joe Biden and the Democrats did. Threw them in prison because they prayed outside of an abortion clinic. That's just unacceptable. Unacceptable. But again, folks, as we go to break here, do you sense that as well? Do you believe that God is moving right now in America? And I mean, when you look at what the president's having to undo, it is so remarkable and quite frankly miraculous what we are seeing happen. And folks, let me explain this to you. We've just dipped our big toe into the political waters of making America great again. This is nothing. Wait until you see what's going to happen with the Department of Education and the complete dismantling of that. We're going to be finding out things that are going to blow your mind. Money that was used, things that were done, and ladies and gentlemen, do not be surprised if we actually end up getting the evidence to prove that the 2020 election was stolen, that there is some sort of a deep state operation going on here, and that there was a global effort to take down the United States of America, and they were using our tax money to accomplish that goal. Now, our telephone number, and I want you to write this down, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Ben Dieter has just sent me some research, and according to the research, religious people report higher levels of happiness compared to godless, heathen, pagan Democrats. Well said. Verily, verily. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, there's a Democrat, a congressman from California. His name is Jared Huffman. And so this guy is all upset over the National Prayer Breakfast this morning, and he was protesting the fact that they were having prayer inside the U.S. Capitol building, cut number 8.
Hi, folks. I'm just getting ready to cross the street for the National Prayer Breakfast. I am not going to this event because I support it. I'm actually going to protest it, and I'm going to be wearing a couple of buttons to explain that. This one, Build This Wall, is about the wall of separation between church and state that our founders intended for our secular republic. And then this one says Entering Gilead, of course, a reference to a creepy dystopic theocracy, which is the slippery slope we're heading down with events like this. Let's walk and I'll tell you more about it. So, look, we should not be having a Christian prayer service in the sanctum of the United States Capitol, in Statuary Hall. This is an actual violation of church-state separation like we have never seen. Second year in a row, Speaker Johnson has done this. And now they're doing it in open collaboration with a group called the Fellowship Foundation, which is this radical extremist group that does things like goes to Africa and supports legislation to kill gay people and openly supports an anti-woman, anti-LGBT extreme agenda here in the United States. Stuff like this, this complete breakdown of church-state separation, is a big part of the dystopic authoritarian agenda at the heart of Donald Trump and his MAGA movement. And today I'm going to try to do my part to just say enough.
Okay, this guy's a pinhead. So, look, first of all, this is an event. This is not Speaker Mike Johnson's prayer breakfast. The National Prayer Breakfast was started over 70 years ago, by none other than Dwight D. Eisenhower, our great president. By the way, I've got a new book coming out in the summer, and I write about Eisenhower and why he started the National Prayer Breakfast. So I've done a little bit of research on this. This has nothing to do with any other group. This is all organized through Congress, both Republicans and Democrats. And need I remind the congressman from California that even Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden attended the National Prayer Breakfast. So give me a break, you godless heathen jerk. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now listen up. We've got some new numbers coming out of DOGE, and you're not going to believe how much money your tax dollars are being used to fund news organizations, not just here in America, but around the world. We're gonna share all that intel coming up next. For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code STARNS. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, so Elon Musk and his team over at Doge, and I think they're all under the age of 25, pretty brilliant minds, and they're facing death threats now, all sorts of abuse. So Mrs. Bill Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Mrs. C, as we'll call her here, here's what she wrote about the Doge team. She says, and by the way, this was in response to Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. He says that the Doge team is going to plug in to help upgrade the aviation system, which I think that's a terrific idea. Hillary says, Mrs. C says this, quote, they have no relevant experience. Most of them are not old enough to rent a car, and you're going to let them mess with airline safety that's already deteriorated under your watch. So, look, Hillary is blaming the Trump administration for what happened at Reagan National. But I want to talk about this whole idea that the Doge team, because they're young, they've got no relevant experience. It's Mrs. C who has no relevant experience. I mean, when you look at her career, the only thing she did was trade in on her philandering husband's job in the Oval Office. She literally got to where she is in life by being Mrs. Bill Clinton. And you want to know how we know that, ladies and gentlemen? Because Mrs. C actually gives us a clue. While her husband was literally defiling the sanctity of the oral office of these great United States of America, while her husband was doing unmentionable things with the interns, she turned a blind eye. And you know why she turned? Even after it was all exposed that Bill Clinton, well, it all depends on what is. No, after all of that, when the entire world knew that he lied not only to the American people, but also to the wife and the kid, who's also getting cash from USAID, in spite of all of that, she stood by her man. And you know why she stood by her man? Because she knew that the word president was going to open up doors for her. So the only reason this woman is relevant is because her husband got elected president. Otherwise, she'd be baking cookies back in a Little Rock. I'm sorry, it just had to be said. So I want to go back to Doge because we've got some new intel, new information coming out. People are really shocked over some of these things. Here are some of the things that your tax money's been funding and that they will be funding no more. First of all, $2 million for Moroccan pottery classes. Now, I happen to know a little something about pottery because the lovely Miss Cassie, who answers the phones on this program, she's got her own pottery business. Now, I'm willing to bet a Chick-fil-A sandwich that the lovely Miss Cassie has not gotten $2 million from the federal government to fund her pottery, which is very nice, by the way. What about this? $2 million to promote tourism to Lebanon. We mentioned the $20 million for Sesame Street. $70,000 for the DEI musical in Ireland. $6 million to promote tourism in Egypt. And here we go, $15 million for contraceptives and condoms in Afghanistan. But I digress. Because now, ladies and gentlemen, we have some new information. Now, we told you yesterday on the program that the New York Times, NPR, PBS, and Politico were all getting tens of millions of dollars of your tax money. They're using your tax money against you. Well, now the Columbia Journalism Review reports, And by the way, I'm shocked they actually revealed this information, but they did it because they were using it to attack President Trump. They said, Columbia Journalism Review said that $268 million of your tax money has been funding independent journalism operations around the world. They do not list which organizations are getting that money, but they said $268 million of your tax money is going to fund independent journalism operations around the world. Hear me on this. If your newsroom is getting a welfare check from Uncle Sam, it is not independent at all. This is absolute insanity. But now you understand. It was hard for me to understand this because these news organizations, they got no money. And I couldn't understand, how are they able to hire all these additional people? How are they able to stay open? People are canceling their subscriptions. People aren't even reading newspapers anymore. So why is it? Well, now we know why. Because the Democrats were back-channel funding these news organizations. And ladies and gentlemen, every single one of them has to be defunded. And that's why the newsrooms around this country are freaking out. Because when it's all said and done, don't be surprised if all of the major anti-Trump publications in America, don't be surprised if we find out they have been getting tens of millions of dollars of your tax money. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Tim in Georgia. Hi, Tim. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I'm really glad to get on the phone with you. Much to my surprise, the other day in the mail, I received my second Todd Starnes book, and I was so thrilled. I'm fixing to go on a trip, and I'm going to take that with me, and I'm going to read that book.
Well, I'm glad you got it. Thank you. I hope you enjoy the read.
Yep, I will. So my question is, I understand this USAID has been around since the 60s, obviously. So their funding is coming from Congress because they appropriate the money. So is it Appropriations Committee that is funding this organization? Who exactly are they getting their funding from?
So this is a good question, Tim. So yesterday we had Congressman Mike Flood on the show. He was also on my Newsmax program this week. And he told me that there was no oversight, that Congress was just, you know, whatever USAID asked for, they got. And Congress never raised any questions. Nobody bothered to audit. That, to me, is the shocking thing, that there's never been an audit. Now, the House Freedom Caucus a few days ago, Tim, put out a statement saying, we tried to do something about this. We tried to stop the funding to USAID. But even the Republicans, even their own party, sided with the Democrats to keep the money flowing.
So they do have some good causes, I'm sure. They support some good causes. But there has to be some kind of paper trail. Who is signing off on these funds? I mean, there has to be. Government oversight has to be. There has to be some account there saying who was the final approval on this. I'm sure that whoever the ranking member on the Republicans could give that answer during the Biden administration, but there has to be whoever the chairman of that committee was has to be the one ultimately responsible for that funding.
So the Office of Inspector General, the OIG, is the one government agency that provides direct oversight into all of the personnel and the programs, and that, you know, that we've got to find out what happened there. We've got to find out where the breakdowns were. And you're right. I mean, there are some things, I'm sure, when USAID first started back in the 1960s under JFK, I'm sure there were some legitimate humanitarian needs there. But the reality is we're far beyond that now, Tim. I mean, it's just absolutely insane what they're doing with our money.
It's out of control. I mean, that there's no oversight for this. I'm sure they have not uncovered everything that was used by this organization that is apparently a independent organization. I assume they're under the administrative branch of government. So that branch of government has every right to have the oversight now to manage that organization.
Yeah. And trust me on this, they're going to get to the bottom of it. I have no doubt about that. And heads have to roll. They really do. Tim, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. We do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Turns out the state of Iowa is mostly white, ladies and gentlemen. That news coming in on Capitol Hill today, where Ayanna Pressley was grilling the governor of the great state of Iowa on Capitol Hill. Kim Reynolds is her name. Cut number 7.
Like Iowa. Governor Reynolds, let's learn more about the state. Do you know what percentage of Iowans are white and what percentage are black?
I don't know the exact percentages, no. We're by far a larger percentage of white population.
That's correct. Iowa is 90% white and only 4.5% black. So that is drastically different from the national population. So when Republicans suggest Iowa should be a national model, they are advocating for a government that doesn't reflect our country.
What? Wow. So I will say this. When I went to Iowa, it was like a blizzard. That's all I could see was white everywhere. Jeez. So, look, we ran the numbers here. 59% of the country is white, only 12% black. Hispanic, by the way, you guys, nearly 19% of the overall population. So I have a question for Ayanna Pressley, and she, again, is the fourth person in that squad, AOC squad, much like the Spice Girls, the one that's forgettable. Anyway, I got a question for Pressley. If we're going to do this, do we really want to go down this path here? I mean, I'm happy to go down the path with her if this is the path she wants to go down. But if, in fact, we have to start treating people based on the actual percentages of the population, where are all the white people in the NBA? That's what I want to know. Why isn't 59.3% of the NBA Caucasian? Why? Well, I want to go. Let's go to the phone lines here. Ironically, Jerry from Iowa joins us. Jerry, I hate to ask this question, but are you white, sir?
I can neither confirm nor deny the presence or absence of any color that may or may not exist on this phone call.
Well said, sir. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you got a lot of white people in your state, my friend.
No comment. But now, the reason why I called is I try not to be overly suspicious or to read into things that may or may not be there. I'm just your average country boy. And I was wondering, is it possible that all this USAID money goes overseas and maybe some of it gets skimmed a little, and perhaps, and I don't know this how the world really works sometimes, maybe Congress gets paid that way under the table? I mean, this is really a terrible problem. We send all this money overseas. There's no accountability for it. Well, why did they send it to begin with? To help gender identity in other countries, or maybe some of it? Maybe that's where all the 23 shell companies come from. What about other Congress people? Are they on the take? Has this been a source of gravy? It's just a research question.
Actually, it's a very important research question, Jerry, because you're right, and it's a fair question. How do all of these people making, what, $174,000, $175,000 a year, how do they become multimillionaires? How is it that they're able to live in these beautiful mansions? Where are they getting all this money from? And I think they're starting to uncover a lot of this and unravel a lot of it, where these individuals have these Congress people have these think tanks, these nonprofits on the side, and that's where I think this money is being funneled into. You mentioned Ukraine, for example. Are you ready for this one, Jerry? 9 out of 10 media organizations in Ukraine are funded by USAID grants.
You know, I thought there was something rotten in Denmark. No offense to the Danes.
None whatsoever. It stinks to high heavens, Jerry. It really does. And that's why there's such outrage right now, because the gravy train is drying up here. It's being exposed, and it has to be exposed. And by the way, don't be surprised by this one, Jerry. There are going to be a lot of Republicans on those lists alongside those Democrats.
No.
I know. It's, you can't pull the wool over this white guy's eyes.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Thanks. Jerry from Iowa. He's a white guy. He gave it a, he's a country boy. He's, that's code. All right. There, you can't make this stuff up, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, listen to me about Ayanna Pressley. Everything is about race, and that's I don't think that argument plays as well as it did maybe even a year ago. I think people are getting sick and tired of this race nonsense, and I'm happy to expose it any chance we get. But if you're saying that we've got to start hiring people based on racial percentages, great, let's get going, and I'll be heading over to the Memphis Grizzlies for tryouts this afternoon. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. Let me tell you about Mike Lindell over at MyPillow. Is a brand new, beautiful, beautiful piece of jewelry. Now, you got Valentine's Day coming up, and guys, hear me on this. This is going to be a beautiful gift to give your Valentine. It's a beautiful sterling silver My Cross. It's absolutely phenomenal. I want you to go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And you're going to be able to find this beautiful silver MyCross designed by Mike Lindell himself. And you're going to be able to save 30% today by using my promo code Starnes. You can also give them a call, 1-800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But you got to be sure to use my last name. That's the promo code that's going to unlock this 30% savings. And they've got men's and women's styles. So it's just simply a beautifully well-crafted My Cross. You're going to want to wear it everywhere. Again, MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-839-8506.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, Sunny Hostin, she's one of the squawking magpies on The View, just moments ago had this to say about all of you white folk. Cut 15.
As it relates to this country, you know, as a woman of color, as a woman and a woman of color, there are things that I see through my lived experience that another person cannot see. And so I am very... intentional about making sure that that point of view and that lived experience is shared with other people, because in this country, I'm forced to know everything about white culture in order to be in the space that I exist in. But there, other people are not forced to know my lived experience or my culture, mm-hmm. Because it's a white majority country.
What is she talking about? What is she talking about? Everybody has their own lived experience. If you've lived, you've experienced it. So what is this woman talking about? And by the way, if you want to talk about culture, let's have that conversation, because just a few days ago, a black chick with long, straight, blonde hair won Best Country Music Album. Can we talk about cultural appropriation? Is that, want to have that conversation, Sunny Hostin? What the heck? What is she talking about? I'm telling you, folks, they're losing the narrative. That's what's going on here. They're losing the narrative. It's unraveling, and this is a lot of fun. We're going to talk more about this coming up after the break. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And by the way, I love Madea TV movies.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this hour, the deep state is in great turmoil. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Look, this is huge. We are now beginning to unravel and understand exactly how the globalist, the George Soros crowd, and his foundation, how they were working in cahoots with the Democrats to fundamentally remake, to fundamentally transform America. That's what's been going on here, and they've been able to do it using our tax dollars. It is an absolutely insane story that will take years to unravel, but we're doing our very best on this program to bring you the very latest information on how the deep state did it and why they are in a full-blown panic mode right now. Meanwhile, we're also getting some intel from Border Czar Tom Holman. They were in Aurora, Colorado, which is where the ICE raid. They've got the dangerous gang there. Is it Tren Diagua? I never can get that name right. Anyway, they're very dangerous south of the border gang. ICE shows up to arrest these very dangerous people, and they're all gone. They're all gone. We're getting new intel that the gang members were alerted. They were given a heads up. Somebody leaked the looming raid to the gang members, and they were able to get out of town. Tom Holman is enraged. Tom Holman is furious, and he says that people will be held accountable. So whoever leaked this information, they're going to be held accountable. I want to go back, though, to USAID for a moment. Which, by the way, and understand how nefarious this is, you know, a lot of these religious groups, the Catholics and the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, for example, Christianity Today, a lot of these Christian groups that were rooted rock solid in conservative precepts and biblical teachings, just cast it all aside. And this has been going on for well over a decade. And it started during the Barack Hussein Obama years. And now we know why. Because a lot of these organizations were being given tens of millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars to betray the faithful, to turn away from the teachings of the Bible, and to embrace this globalist agenda. And part of that agenda and the way the churches are factored into all of this, first of all, the churches were being funneled all of this money from the Democrats, and they were assigned the task. They had to convince the faithful, the folks in the pews, that supporting Donald Trump was a sin against Almighty God. And in exchange for doing that, they received all of this money from the Democrats and these far-left organizations. So not only was the government co-opted by the globalist and the Democrat Party, but also the churches in America. And this is important because it almost worked. It almost worked. But for the grace of God intervening in the presidential election, it would have worked. And I have no doubt that at that moment, if Kamala Harris had won the presidency, we would not have been able to stop the implosion of this country. But God gave us a second chance, as I said in the opening of the show today, and I believe we've got a second chance to get this right. Now, here's how crazy it was. USA, there's a whistleblower. His name is Mark Moyer, and he went on Jesse Waters' show last night. I just can't believe this. And Dieter, I want you to listen because I find this hard to believe it happened, but it happened. He was actually sent to a DEI indoctrination camp. This guy's a white dude, and he was sent to one of these indoctrination camps, and he was ordered to take on the identity of a Scandinavian woman. Let's take a listen.
Mark, you started at USAID, and what'd they do the first thing? Did they send you to DEI camp?
Yes, and great to be with you, Jesse. So I didn't get into the agency till February 2018, and this is one of the big differences that we're already seeing. That the in 2017, Trump administration was very slow to get into the agency. So I get there in February, and we have what's called a privilege walk as part of the orientation, where you are given an identity. Now, I was a Scandinavian woman, and so when they read lines like, you know, I get discriminated against because of government services, or people don't like look how I look. So you took a step forward if it applied, and if it didn't. And so I ended up near the front, and you know, the indigenous woman with, you know, unwanted pregnancy and the male prostitute were at the other end. And then we talked about our privileges.
All right. So you were trained to be a Scandinavian woman in a privilege walk, not root out corruption. What kind of disguises do they use to fund these projects? I mean, do they just change the names of these things? Is there really some other reason we're doing this?
Yeah, they're very effective at rebranding things. So in the first Trump administration, the priorities were support national interests, as they are now. Another thing was countering terrorism and promoting self-reliance. So I went to a country, just to give one example, they had a feminist women's book club that had been started under the Obama administration. And then they now said this is a counter-terror program because women, feminist women are key fighters in the battle against terrorism.
Yep. Well, there you go, folks. So the guy had to portray a Scandinavian woman in this, I guess, this workplace DEI indoctrination camp. We had to do that. I know this is going to shock people. Ben Dieter, we had to do that when I was at Fox News Channel. So they hired they got rid of the old HR team, and they brought in the people who ran HR over at NBC. And the next thing you know, we're all getting summoned, and we had to go to these diversity, equity, and inclusion workshops, and they were celebrating inside Fox News in the building. We were having to celebrate all this kind of nonsense. But anyway, I only went to one of the meetings, and the way I got around it, I said, this is not in my contract, and if it's not in my contract, I'm not going back. And I didn't. But I'm sitting there, and this is where, this is where I finally ran afoul of the new woke leadership. They were doing these wordplay kind of like questions, like you had these scenarios, Carl and Bubba, two white guys, wore KKK outfits to work the other day and, you know, offended Tyrone, the black guy. What would you do in that situation? I mean, it's just the most ludicrous things. But anyway, they would always say if it was like a Hispanic, instead of saying whatever the Hispanic slur is, they would abbreviate it. Or if it was like the black slur, they would say the N word. But then when it came time for the white person, you know, scenario, it said Tyrone called Carl a cracker. And so anyway, we're going through this in the workshop. I mean, everybody was in there. Everybody was in there. And my hand shot up. They said, yes. Yes, Todd, you want to weigh in? You want to offer? I said, yes. I said, I am personally offended. First of all, I am a Saltine American. I don't appreciate you saying cracker. You should be calling it the C word. They didn't know that. They were like, oh, wow, we really never thought about it. They took me seriously. I was like, there was great umbrage. How dare you call me a cracker? I'm a Saltine American, thank you very much. Some people call me a Ritz. I'm buttery. No, I just. So all that to say, well, about 6 months later, they chose not to renew my contract. So that could have had something to do with it as well. But they were they're like, oh, we had no idea. It never crossed their mind. And the reason why, it's okay to be racist against white people. That's the reason why. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to this Sonny Hostin piece. So just moments ago on The View, on their podcast, here's what Sonny Hostin had to say. Cut 15.
Tree, you know, as a woman of color, as a woman and a woman of color, there are things that I see through my lived experience that another person cannot see. And so I am very intentional about making sure that that point of view and that lived experience is shared with other people, because in this country, I'm forced to know everything about white culture in order to be in the space that I exist in. But there, other people are not forced to know my lived experience or my culture, because it's a white majority country.
Dieter, I got a question for you. What do you think she means by white culture? That's what I'm trying to understand. What exactly is white culture that's got her so bothered?
I just guess she looked at the demographics and some of the stats you shared earlier in the program, that this country is, I guess, still, what, 60% the makeup of white Americans? You know, whatever culture Sunny Hostin on The View has, I want that. I don't think I can dabble in her culture because it's not my lived experience. But this woman is a woman, she makes $8 million a year. I think Disney had to slash her salary a little bit. They dropped it to $5 million a year. So if that is Sunny's lived experience and she's trying to force that upon the... Please! I mean, what an experience she has.
I'm not making
$5 million.
I'm trying to understand, though. She's got a problem with white culture, and I don't know what that is. I mean, what is white culture? I just look at culture as culture. I know I used to get in trouble all the time at Fox for this, but I would say, oh, man, I could go for some collard greens and some cornbread right now. How dare you? You can't say that out loud. That's racist. Mm-hmm. That's cultural appropriation. I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you saying because I'm a Jew, I can't go to the Jewish deli and order a pastrami on rye because I'm a Gentile? Is that what are you people talking about?
We're eating too many American. I almost said we're eating too much American pie. No, that's the movie. Apple pies. That's, I think, the culture she has a problem with. Macaroni and cheese. I don't know. She obviously has this woman is evil. She is a Joy Reid. They're like best friends. So that's the woman that puts on the blonde hair and is on MSNBC.
That's cultural appropriation.
Well, she's trying to reclaim the culture, apparently. I don't know. But these people have a chip on their shoulder. I don't know who hurt them, who damaged them. But I think she's grappling, and in that interview, that was a selection from this podcast where she's talking about Trump slashing DEI. And so she's saying actively the Trump administration is trying to erase what culture they have left.
And again, I don't know what is that culture, and that's really what I'm trying to understand.
A little bit further on, she makes the comparison, for example, the CMAs snubbed Beyonce, remember? That was like a big deal because she tried to do the crossover and we were talking about that. And she was saying that the CMA kind of embodies white culture, where the Grammys salvage the culture, where Beyonce is taking back country music, which has its origins in black history, blah, 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 blah.
Dylan, you watched the Grammy Awards the other night. Did you not?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notice this? And I did notice this. Most of the performers and most of the presenters were not white people.
Yeah.
I mean, there were very few white people involved. So, again, it's noticeable that whites are being shoved aside. But I think my concern here is, like, for example, country music. Okay, fine, Sonny Hostin. When was the last time you saw a white person win the Miss Black America contest? When was the last time you saw a white person starring on a show on black entertainment television? When was the last time you saw a white person win some sort of a major hip hop or rap award? Okay. I mean, do you want to have that conversation? Yeah, country is predominantly a white musical genre, but it's not because it's racist. That's just the culture of the region, Appalachia. Mm-hmm. It bothers me that people like Sonny Hostin are out there creating this whole idea of our culture versus their culture. Like, remember, it wasn't a couple of years ago, you couldn't go out and have Taco Tuesday because that was offensive to Hispanic people. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
And I do like Madea movies and Sanford and Son.
You're a very cultured person.
I am.
And you've said that you're LeBron Starnes. and Mr. Starnes.
That's
you know?
True.
So you
I'm
embody
all things to all people.
That's exactly right.
All
diversity.
All people. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, you're not going to believe what's going down at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. There is some freaky stuff going down on Rocky Top. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, Ben Teeter, I am concerned. You know that I'm a big University of Tennessee Volunteer fan, a Go Big Orange. Got word yesterday that something freaky is going on down at Rocky Top. It's not good. So the University of Tennessee at Knoxville now has a club that provides a safe space for students that dress up like animals. And it's called the UTK Furries. Are you familiar with the Furries?
I think I've run into a couple.
Really?
Yeah. Downtown Memphis has some insane squirrels, Todd. I saw the possum the other day, and I when I tell you, I fed one of the possums, I have so many good furry friends.
I think these are humans dressed as furries.
No, that's not what I was told. Should have seen this raccoon, Todd.
No, these are actual human beings dressing up in furry animal costumes. That's how they set their freak on.
They're furry. Oh,
they're furry.
This is sexual.
Yes.
Oh, I'm walking out.
Yeah. It's pretty disgusting.
At UT?
At UT Knoxville.
Oh.
This is shocking. The student newspaper reports that furries are largely misunderstood with a large amount of stereotypes and false information about them. Okay, they're humans dressed in animal costumes. I want to know, do they use litter boxes? Or they just go out into the, you know, the quad.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Anyway, the club president says, I want people to know who furries are, to know they can share their ideas with other furries in a safe environment. Quote, in short, I want to impact the campus by letting people know that we are absolutely here and happy to be here, the critter said. Campus Reform reports there are more than 90 members of the UTK Furry Club. Good golly.
That's a lot of animals.
It's creepy, right? They're saying that the club allows you to explore gender, sexuality, and all aspects of identity through a character. That is strange. So anyway, we're working to find out if, in fact, our tax dollars are being used to fund the Furry Club.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around this story. I did not realize that they want to embody these animals, these pets.
Yeah, I don't want to unduly alarm folks in the Vols Nation, but maybe Peyton Manning should visit campus, do a wellness check on Smokey.
Yeah.
He's our little mascot.
Does Dolly know about this?
I don't think Dolly
knows.
Call
Dolly.
Dolly!
There's some critters running around old Rocky Top.
Oh, Lord. They're pooping in the azalea bushes. We'll be right back, America. All right, real quick, let's go to Virginia. Tom is listening to us on Truth Radio, wants to weigh in on these furries. Tom, I've never heard of such a thing, especially at the University of Tennessee, for crying out loud.
Before we get into the furries, I designed a sign, and I've put it in the back of my truck with the Trump sign. And it says, Christianity, patriotism, nationalism, freedom.
I support all of those things, Tom. Well done you, sir.
And I've got a pair of clasped hands in the middle that shows they all go hand in hand.
Well, there you go. They do indeed. All right, real quick about these furries.
Getting to the furries real quick, the way to stop this, Todd, is you require them to have all their shots.
Oh, gosh.
Rabies, distemper, there's about 9 shots your dogs have, and I don't know how many a cat has to take.
Wow. You know, if we get them spayed or neutered too, Tom, that might cut down on some of the furries.
That was my next one.
Oh, jeez, Alou.
But you have to have a cell health certificate for your dog, your cats, whatever, to take them anywhere. And you have to have all the shots. So they should be required to have all those shots.
All right. Tom, it is a great idea. I like how you think, and thank you for listening to Truth Radio there in Virginia. Wow. I just never imagined in a million years that would be happening in Tennessee, of all places. Well, I want to switch gears real quick here. CPAC coming up February 19th. In Washington, D.C., it's going to be a lot of fun. CPAC.org, if you want to get information on who is speaking and schedules. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from Newsmax TV, Mercedes Schlapp. Hey, Mercedes, how's it going today?
Well, you know, it is 24/7 right now planning for CPAC because it's around the corner. It's February 19th through the 22nd here at the Gaylord Hotel right outside Washington, D.C. And I got to tell you, the lineup is so powerful. I mean, we just announced Michael Waltz, our national security advisor, who will be attending. Tom Homan is joining us. We're going to obviously have President Trump come and join us as well. We've got just Ben Shapiro will be coming. I mean, the list goes on and on of these superstars in the conservative movement, really making a difference in what we saw, and really an opportunity to, 30 days after President Trump has obviously been inaugurated, to discuss what he's been able to do in record speed, and then on top of that, what the vision is for the next, you know, 3.5 years. And I think it's a great opportunity to be up close and personal with President Trump and so many of his cabinet members and all-star conservative activists.
It's really fascinating, Mercedes, to see how quickly this administration is going. I think they know they are on the clock. I mean, 4 years, so there's a lot to get done. And even in the first, 3 weeks of the administration, it's really been mind-blowing to see the amount of grift and corruption they've been able to uncover in the government.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, really, it's been fascinating to watch how quickly Elon Musk under Doge has spent time in revealing what we've seen with the U.S. Agency for International Development, the USAID, where they've been paying, you know, out so much money to this propaganda media, to actors as well, and actresses, for example, to go into Ukraine and paying these people off is just insane. And then on top of that, you have the fact that they're pushing, you know, millions of dollars in these developing countries for the woke agenda. It wasn't even for, let's try to improve their lives. No, no, no. It was to basically promote the LGBTQ agenda, the woke agenda in so many of these countries, many of them conservative countries. And so it's a complete waste of money. And I think for the American people to become aware of how wasteful our government has become, I think that's a very telling moment, because the American people are, you know, there's a lot of people hurting, and there's a lot of people who would want the support of the government or want support of just being able to have a second chance. And instead, we've wastefully spent money, the federal government, for decades without anything being done. So this idea that President Trump and Elon Musk and Doge is really going in there and unraveling the complex web of these foreign contractors that are getting paid to do the dirty work, I think is very telling.
The number of news organizations, not just here in America, but USAID was apparently funding over 6,200 journalists across 707 media outlets. We also understand 9 out of 10 media outlets in Ukraine were getting some form of funding from USAID, not to mention all of the news organizations here in America getting money from other government agencies. And Mercedes, you do have to wonder if this is all part of some huge conspiracy to take down the country.
Well, I think more so. I think it reflects how the federal government has lost its way. Not only has it become bloated, you have federal workers who don't even really show up physically to work. So you have all these office spaces that are completely empty. And then on top of that, you have this, what I would say, the usage of this fund to promote leftist propaganda across the globe, right? And that's what they were pushing for. And so I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's reality. I think this is where we are, and this is why it had to become unraveled the way it's been unraveled. And quite frankly, you know, in a weird way, you just wish it would have been done even sooner. Because I can't believe we let this go by for so long without there being any accountability. I mean, you have Joni Ernst, Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, who said that she had battled USAID for quite some time, and they kept creating roadblock after roadblock, not giving her the information they need. And so it shows how, you know, people just let the federal government just keep doing what they're doing, and no one had any sort of checks on them, or checks and balances on them, quite frankly.
Mercedes Schlapp joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Folks, again, CPAC coming up February 19th through the 22nd there in Washington. CPAC.org is the website to get information there. Mercedes, just an aside here. You know, was it last week you had the Democrats meeting to choose their leadership? Are you guys asking for, like, the Catholic priest to go in and just, like, re-bless the place, give it a good cleaning?
Oh, I got to tell you, I would hope so. I need to, you know, I could tell you when I was in the West Wing, I did carry a lot of holy water with me in my West Wing office. So I feel that for the Democrats, you know, they've really lost their way. When their whole focus is on abortion and their whole focus is on just this woke agenda, and they won't let it go. They just will not let it go. It just doesn't stop. And I feel that it gets very difficult for the Democrats to be able to really connect with the American people. And look, they're in chaos. They can't even keep up with President Trump. When we're dealing with the fact that President Trump is very much pushing this revolution of common sense, where it's basic, just basic actions, like, for example, signing an executive order that there's only two genders, signing an executive order to protect girls' sports. I mean, this is just common sense. It should not be this issue that's been created as this insane issue that the American people have rejected. They rejected it in November. And in essence, I think if the Democrats continue to go down this pathway of woke ideology, I think they'll lose again in the midterm election.
Mercedes, before we let you go, President Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast today, what does it say that we need an executive order to protect people of faith in America?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think when you look at the facts of the anti-Semitic protests that have happened across college campuses where the Jewish students don't feel safe to go to classes, I think, you know, and also the mere fact that, you know, Christians' kids who go to school and they can't really talk about their faith because they're scared they're going to be bullied. I mean, there's so many of these actions that you think, goodness gracious, what is America made up of? And when you think of America, you know, it's funny. I was on a field trip with my 13-year-old yesterday. We went up to Philadelphia, where we went to Independence Hall. We went to the National Constitution Center. And I was explaining to the kids, I was like probably like the biggest nerd, super excited in there, talking about the First Amendment and the freedom of religion and the freedom of press and the freedom of speech and the freedom to assemble. And I explained to them how unique and how beautiful this is in America. I mean, there's countries that they change their constitutions every like 5 years. I mean, you take a country like Chile, or even Israel didn't have a constitution for quite some time. And here you have the U.S. where our constitution has been around for 237 years. It is truly amazing to watch that we've been able to maintain the stability in our country. And on top of that, we have this unique, set of, in terms of the Bill of Rights, our amendments basically say, you know what? You have the freedom to practice your religion and worship freely. I think it's something that we have, all of us, an obligation to protect, because that is the greatness of America, that it's people from all different walks of life, all from different faiths that come here and are able to raise their kids according to their faith, and they should not have government dictating the rules in terms of what is right or wrong in their religion.
Well said, Mercedes. We're going to leave it there. We always appreciate you taking time for us here on the radio show and look forward to seeing you on Newsmax.
Yes. Come join us at CPAC February 19th through the 22nd. Go to CPAC.org.
All right. There you go, folks. Again, CPAC in D.C., CPAC.org. Thanks, Mercedes. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. So where are we? Well, we got a new president, American greatness being restored, breaking news every minute. It's insane. And tens of millions of Americans, you know what they're doing? They're turning off Fox. They're turning off CNN. They're turning off MSDNC. And they're watching Newsmax for breaking news information they really need to know. Reuters, by the way, says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. You can find it on all major cable systems and on your TV and your smartphone. You can just download the app and start watching my show, 5 o'clock Eastern. We're having a great time on that program. You're going to find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. So make the switch to Newsmax. You can check us out on cable, satellite TV. You can download the Newsmax app. And just remember, folks, Newsmax is real news for real people.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy the Rinse Straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I have a question for you regarding cell phones. And, of course, when we were growing up, you know, back in the 80s, the late 70s, early 80s, we had no cell phones. There was no need for a cell phone. We had landlines. If your mom needed you, they hollered out the backyard, you know, and said, "Todd, come on in. Supper's ready." Or if your friends wanted to talk to you, they would come over to your home, right? So there's a new study out that says parents are now waiting to give their kids cell phones. At what age would you give your child a cell phone?
When did you get your first cell phone?
When I was a grown adult. And when they came out.
What'd they have before that?
We had something called landlines.
A telegraph?
No, we took these two cups and we tied some string between them.
Morse code.
We're like,
"Hello, Ben, can you hear me? Wow, Todd, I can hear you like you're right next door."
This is insane to me. You have to understand, to hear you say you got your first cell phone
as an adult, when was it? It would have been in the, what, mid-90s, late 90s, I think, when they were starting. Because originally, the original cell phones, you basically had to have a backpack. I mean, it was gigantic.
So there was no walking around driving with your phone.
Okay. And they were normally, the guys who had them were driving convertibles and had big hair. There was a certain look for the early cell phone users.
What was your first cell phone? Was it one of those Nokias or BlackBerry?
Yeah, well, I had like a flip phone. Yeah, well, first you get a pager. And that was, everybody thought that was super cool. And then you got the BlackBerries. And then I'm trying to remember my very first cell phone, but they cost an arm and a leg. So now, according to Common Sense Media, 42% of American children now have a smartphone by the age of 10 years old. 71% by 12. And how old were you when you got your first cell phone?
I had a workaround, but 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Get your driver's license, you get a phone.
Why are you giving a 10-year-old a smartphone? And here's what gets me. All these parents are, you know, when you go to school, if you had a problem, let's say, I'm not feeling well. Can I call my mom? And they're like, yes, here's a pass. Go to the office. They let you use the landline. You call your mom, and your mom calls them and comes and picks you up. So nowadays, everybody's got their phones, and so the schools are trying to confiscate the phones, and the parents are freaking out. Well, what if my child needs me? Okay, well, they can go to the office and call you. What's the problem here?
Well, okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate. Back in your day, when you were a little fifth grader, you didn't have your teacher at the elementary school in South Haven in northern Mississippi teaching you about, well, let's just say, tranny in a drag queen outfit, okay? So your teacher was teaching you Dick and Jane, okay? The book, Dick, Jane, Spot.
And Dick was Dick and Jane was Jane.
Yeah, there wasn't, you know, Dick transforming.
Can we find another name?
I'm sorry, it was my first book I ever read. Dick.
Bubba. Stop.
Dick.
Oh, sweet.
Wait,
Lord.
I have to get back to my illustration. So,
all right, Dick and Jane, go ahead.
Okay. So, they were just teaching you the ABCs. But now you have the fifth grader at the elementary schools, and their teachers are wearing heels, and it's a dude. So now these kids need to have those cell phones to start videoing it. How do you think Libs of TikTok became a thing? Now we know what's happening in the classroom, but we wouldn't have known if those fifth graders, the 10-year-old, didn't have their cell phone, their iPhone, to record Mr. Jones, who looked like a Miss, you know, Jones. That's the devil's advocate. I'm sorry. I apologize to the listening
audience.
What happens
when Jane has a... Oh, wait a second. Never mind. No, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. So now we know what's happening in the classroom.
Okay. So you're saying that justified. But I'm curious. Moms, dads, have you made that decision? Do you have those conversations about... Good golly. Stop.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week. Do you have those conversations about, you know, how young is too young? You know, at what age would you be willing to give your child a cell phone?
And when did you get your first cell phone? To the listening audience. Because my mind's still blown that Todd was a 30-year-old man when he got his first cell phone.
We've got people listening to this program that didn't even have landlines. Those weren't even invented yet. So you had to climb up a telephone pole. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Green Acres. 901-260-5926 is our number. It was much more peaceful back in those days. I remember when we got our first, we thought this was so cool.
Yes.
When we got our first answering machine.
Oh.
And my dad was the one, we all watched as dad prepared to record the message. Hello, this is the Starnes family household.
And isn't it true if you had a landline, you could listen to everybody's conversation?
Oh, darn tootin'. Absolutely.
So if there were two phones in one house and dad was talking downstairs on the landline, you as a kid could be listening upstairs.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Or even worse, mom and dad could be listening to you having a conversation. That's the way it rolled back in the day. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to weigh in on that story, Dick and Jane, or whatever else is on your mind? We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well out there. Dick, Jane, hope everybody's doing great. Teeter. She's a loo teeter. You know, it's a good thing we have a friend heading up the FCC now. That's all I can say. Wow. Welcome, everybody. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later on, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger is going to join us. She was at the big event yesterday, President Trump signing that executive order banning dudes from the women's sport. So well done, President Trump, there, and we'll be looking forward to talking to the Congresswoman. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call into the program today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we have a lot of great guests that come onto this program, and I'm very excited to introduce you to someone who is really doing something incredible. And the best part about this story, you know, we've been talking a lot about USAID, AID, and how all of our tax money is being squandered in so many different places. USAID was actually started with something good in mind, something humanitarian in mind, but they got off mission. Well, there's an organization, a ministry here in the Memphis area, and they are the real deal. And I want to tell you about these folks. The name of the project is called The Filter Project. Their website, thefilterproject.org. And they're doing something that seems to me to be very simple, but very important, which is providing the gift of safe, filtered drinking water to people around the world. and they are partnering with missionaries and other Christian organizations in Kenya to provide not only these water filters, but also to share the gospel of Christ. And ultimately, that's how you are going to change this world. I want to welcome into the conversation Elliot Stovall, who is the Chief Executive Officer and the founder of the Filter Project. Elliot, so good to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having us.
So in full disclosure, you and I, we go to church together, and you stopped me after church one day, and you told me about this incredible ministry that you are starting, and I want you to take me back to that time, because you were actually doing something very different with your life until you founded the Filter Project.
Yeah, so God works in crazy ways and puts you in places where you never thought you'd be. And delivering clean water and the gospel to families in Kenya is not where I saw myself just half a year ago.
So what were you doing half a year ago?
So I sold health insurance to middle to large market companies. So I was the insurance sales guy.
And so you're selling insurance. You've got a great family.
Yes.
You've got a great life there in this part of Tennessee.
Yep.
I would say you were pretty comfortable.
I would say so.
All right. And then one day you wake up and you decide, you know what? We're going to just just slam on the brakes here, and we're going to Kenya.
Yeah. So last year, I met a gentleman named Christiana, who's a pastor in Kenya, and he came to our church to speak, and had the opportunity to take him out to lunch. And I was just asking him what a day in the life of Kenya is like, because I've never been there. I kind of asked, you know, jokingly, are there like elephants and giraffes just like walking around everywhere? What's a day like?
Are there elephants and giraffes walking around? I would be asking the same questions.
Well, I haven't seen them walking on the streets. I did see a camel walking down the street one day. So
that's pretty cool.
That was pretty neat. There are safari parks that you can visit that have the exotic animals in them. But I asked him, just, Cristiano, tell me what a Tuesday looks like. You wake up, Lord willing, then what? And he described his day of having to first start by collecting water for his family, which at the time I didn't know, but now I know that over 2.2 billion people in the world do not have access to clean drinking water.
That is a shocking number. You would think, you know, in our neighborhoods, even the worst neighborhood in say, Memphis, Tennessee, you're going to have clean drinking water.
Well, actually, the water that we wash our cars with, or the water that's in our toilet bowl, is actually cleaner than over a third of the world's drinking. And so he kind of told me about that, and I said, well, Cristiano, if you're getting this water, how do you clean it? And he said, sometimes they boil it, but they don't always have the financial wherewithal to buy the wood and to boil it. And for your viewers, if you've ever... your listeners, if you've ever boiled a pot of noodles, it takes a lot of fire to get it to going.
Sure.
So imagine boiling 30 gallons of water to clean it, and then it's got to cool. So a lot of times they end up just drinking this dirty water. And I was pretty puzzled, and I said, well, don't you get sick? And he humbly said they do. And he actually lost, he has six children, five of them are living. One of his sons died before the age of one, because of a heart defect caused by medicine that his wife took when she was pregnant, not knowing she was pregnant. And actually, Todd, over 800,000 people die every year because of dirty water.
It's that many.
Yeah, and 300,000 of them are children under the age of five. And so where some people will say that guns or other things are killing children, it's really dirty water.
So here you are, health insurance salesman, living a great life in the suburbs of Memphis, Tennessee. You're hearing these stories, and you're hearing about all of these children that are losing their life because they don't have access to clean drinking water. At what point did it click? And did you hear like God telling you,
I did,
this is what you've got to do?
Yeah, I've heard people say that they hear God telling them stuff, and before this, I kind of thought maybe they were just hearing voices in their head, but at that lunch with Cristiano, I heard God speak to me, and he said, fix this. And so I bought Cristiano this filter, thinking that I had kind of checked the box and helped him and done what God told me to do.
Sure.
And then I got a video several days later from Cristiano of him and his family. And it just affected me that something so simple that we take for granted, a $50 filter that I'd purchased him from Amazon, worked, changed his family's life as far as health and their water. And I knew from there, Todd, that I needed to do more.
So I want to give out this web address, and we're going to do it several times here before we wrap up. And again, we're honored to have Elliot Stovall with us. He is the CEO and founder of The Filter Project. Website, very simple, folks, thefilterproject.org. And as he mentioned, a gift of $55, you're going to provide a filter that's going to last more than 20 years to a family that doesn't have access to clean drinking water. That is a pretty affordable gift that you can help Elliot with today. And you're going to be able to also share the love and hope of Christ. And I want to get to that in just a moment. Yeah. But again, folks, thefilterproject.org, if you would like to make a donation, a gift of $55. So you have this bottle in the studio here, and it's basically like a water bottle. And it looks like, I don't know what's in there. It looks like stuff that Ben Dieter drinks around here, that bone broth. So it's basically dirty water.
It is. It's actually water from my pond behind my house.
Okay. So this is literally pond water. And yes, this is freaking me out because there is a filter attached.
Yeah.
This is the filter that the folks in Kenya get. Is that right?
Yeah. You want to hold it?
Yeah. So I'm holding this up for our Rumble and YouTube viewers. And this is it. It's like, geez, aloo. It does look like bone broth. They're like critters in the bottom of this. So anyway, you pour this through. You're just pouring it through a filter. We're doing this live in studio.
Uses hollow microfiber technology, which is the same technology in dialysis machines.
And look at that. So now we've got a clear. This is absolutely insane. So this is what that little filter will do.
Yeah, it'll do it for a million plus gallons of water.
Wow.
And all it takes is a simple back flush of clean water through the filter, and it's ready to go again.
Is that right? That is fascinating. Yeah, so
I'm actually kind of thirsty.
He's drinking this water in the studio. That's refreshing.
It's wonderful.
Good, good. You don't look peaked or anything.
So. No, I've been doing it for about 8 months, so I think I'm all right.
So how many of these filters have you guys already provided to folks there in Kenya?
Yeah, so we started officially in June.
Okay.
And so since June, we've been able to put out a little over 1,100 filters.
Wow. And that's, are you already getting stories? I mean, do you get feedback from people and saying, hey, look, this has really changed our life?
Well, we were actually just got back from Kenya last weekend, and we were doing follow-up visits and conducting them with our missionaries to see this. And a lady, she's 18, and she lives obviously with her family there. And she said before that they suffered from a lot of waterborne diseases such as diarrhea and stomach issues. And she said ever since having the filter, her and her younger siblings and her mother don't suffer from that. And we've been able to share the gospel with them over 4 times.
And that's ultimately what this is about is, you know, you want to provide the basic necessities for folks. But at the same time, you want to be able to build that platform and that relationship where you can share the gospel message with people.
That's right. You know, there's a lot of other water projects out there that are digging wells and large ways to get access to people for their water. But this filter allows our missionaries to have a personal relationship with that family because from ticketing to distribution and then to the 3 follow-ups, they've seen our team at least 4 to 5 times.
Wow, that's remarkable. No, I was shocked because you're right. You were in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday I'm in church, and there you are. I'm like, how does this guy does not? You have like Trump's sleep regiment. So it was really impressive to see you there Sunday, and I felt really bad because I was a little tired, and I just drove 3 miles in.
A little Diet Coke and a McDonald's, and we're ready to go.
You came from a different continent. Elliot Stovall is the founder of The Filter Project, thefilterproject.org. And folks, this is one of those projects that is worthwhile. They're doing some incredible ministry and work, and you are literally making a difference. And I want you to go over, and you can make a donation of any kind, but at $55, you're going to be able to provide a filter for a family in Kenya that does not have access to clean, safe drinking water. And that's what this is all about. Now, real quick, before we let you go, I know there is a big event coming up in the Memphis area, and it's called A Night Out with the Filter Project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so March 27th, which is a Thursday, 6:30 to 8 p.m., we're going to be hosting a storytelling event where we will have 8 top tables for $300 or individual tickets for $40. And we will be telling the story of why we do what we do, how we do what we do. And then we will have several videos from some recipients. And the cool thing is we'll actually be serving a traditional Kenyan dinner cooked by our chef.
Wow. Is it the chef at the church?
Yeah, Chef Aaron at Germantown Baptist. Yeah.
He's good. Chef Aaron. He's good. He used to work at Hog and Hominy, Dylan, it's one of our favorite joints here. So great guy. You know what you have to do?
What's that?
You got to go. The people that are serving at the tables, when they're instead of the water pitchers, you got to give them these jugs and just pour the water into their glass from the. By the way, sign Dieter up for an 8-top table.
I'll do that.
He's loaded. He can afford it.
He's got plenty of it.
I love it. All right. Wow, this is great. And again, if people want information on the night out with the Filter Project, they can go to the website as well.
Yes.
All right, folks. There you go. Again, thefilterproject.org. Elliot Stovall, the CEO and founder of the Filter Project. And what a very, very important and clever ministry you guys have there. Elliot, thanks for dropping by today.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Elliot, by the way, was telling me just a few minutes ago, they sent 10,000 of these water filters to North Carolina within the past couple of months. So that's awesome. So folks, I know you've got a lot of people vying for your help, for your money. This is one of those projects that is so worthwhile. And again, not only helping out the people in Kenya, but right now helping out the people in North Carolina, providing a filtered, clean, safe drinking water. Thefilterproject.org. Go check it out. Also want to give a shout out to Germantown Baptist Church. This afternoon, they are feeding, and I wish I could be there. They're feeding first responders. We've got a great full-time chef on staff. He is amazing, and we're feeding everybody barbecue. So we got pulled pork, ribs, whatever, but we're feeding all the first responders there in the Germantown area. And just a very simple way of saying how much we appreciate our first responders. I know our friends at KWAM, our flagship radio station, we love the police. We love firefighters, paramedics, 911 operators. We just really appreciate what you do. And here in the South, we show our appreciation by feeding you and giving you diabetes. So that's pretty much what we do. Let's go to the phones here. Louie in Georgia. Louie, I'm told you were born in 1947.
Yes, sir. Todd, I wasn't planning on being on the air. I was driving when I heard you talking about many years ago and the landlines and in the houses you could pick up and listen to your relatives' conversation. But Todd, here in northern Georgia, back in the 50s, we had what they called a party line. You had little battery packs on the outside of your house. Now, my understanding is that supplied the low rate electricity for the phone. But anyhow, the party lines was your neighbors actually tied in on your party line. I don't remember, it could have been four or five or six on that particular line. So your neighbors could literally pick up and listen to you. I'll say this real quick, Todd, to show you how mean I am. As a youngster, I thought to myself, Lord, is there any way I could hold that little button down and ease it up where they couldn't tell that you're listening in? But no, there wasn't no way, because best I remember, you could tell when your neighbor picked the phone up to listen. So if it's all right, Todd, I'm going to hang up and let you talk. Maybe people older than me might call in, but the last thing I'd like to say is bless the name of Jesus Christ forevermore.
Well, Louie, God bless you. And wow, what a great story. I'd always heard of party lines, but I never heard of anybody who actually used one of those. And Louie, back in the day, I guess that Louie was saying there in the North Georgia area, that how did it work? Like multiple neighbors would pick up the phone and you would not have a private secure line. If you remember those days, I would love to hear from you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But Dylan, I remember back when cell phones were just really becoming popular, they look like these giant handheld walkie-talkies, and you had to have a huge antenna, and a lot of them were actually in the cars. So in the console between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, you would have this massive contraption, which would be your cell phone. And you plugged it in and you sucked. I mean, the lights dimmed. I mean, that's how much energy that thing made it. Insanity. 901-260-5926. I forgot all about the landlines. Of course, that was long after, Lewis is, he was in 47. That's when my mom was born. So, that was back in the day. But I do remember that the advent of the cell phones and all those guys that went in and built the cell phone towers, they're making a lot of money these days. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Phones are lighting up. We got a party line going on. 901-260-5926. Do not forget, during this break, I want you to do me a favor. Go and help my friend Elliot out. He's a good guy, doing great work, doing God's work. TheFilterProject.org. TheFilterProject.org. We'll be right back, America. Yeah. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Donna in Henderson, Tennessee. Hi, Donna. What's on your mind?
I was listening to your show. First of all, I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
And you was talking about party lines. Well, that reminded me of a wonderful memory of my childhood because I stayed with my granny and pawpaw, and that's what they had was, or actually, it wasn't even in our house. It was in a neighbor's house that we had to walk through the woods and down a long dirt road to get to her house. And she had the party line in her house. It serviced about, I don't know, five or six, maybe more family. But you had to walk miles to even get to her house. So we called on Wednesday. That was our day to call because I was staying with, like I said, my mama or granny and papa, and we would call my mama so I could talk to my mama, and granny would tell, it was a lady named Miss Jody Smith. She'd say, Jody, I've got Donna here. She wants to talk to her mama. And so Jody would pick up the party line and say, now y'all need to get off. Martha's here with her granddaughter. She wants to talk to her mama. So they'd all get off the telephone so I could call my mama. Of course, you could hear it click. Everybody was listening, you know, to what I was saying to my mama.
Right.
But those were just fun memories. I mean, and that's not that long. Well, today's my birthday, actually. I'm 67 today. And that was before I started the school. So it was before I was 5 years old. And like I say, I'm from Chester County. That's in West Tennessee. And it was just a fond memory of me and my granny walking through the woods every Wednesday to go to Jody's house so I could call my mama. And
wow.
When I was a teenager, my granny got a telephone. And she never called us. And we thought, well, why on earth don't she call us or we call her? And she wouldn't answer. And so we went on Sunday and said, Granny, why aren't you answering that telephone? And she said, well, nobody's told me what my ring is, and I don't want to pick up on somebody else's line. We said, no, Granny, this is private phone. When it rings, it's for you. And she had no idea that when her phone was ringing, it was private. She could have a private conversation.
What a story.
Once she called on, she wore it out.
I bet she did. Well, Donna, happy birthday to you. And wow, what a story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that today.
Okay. Well, thank you. Keep listening.
All right. Well, appreciate that. Can you imagine, Ben, they called on your day to use the phone was on a Wednesday.
Can you imagine if they tried that in 2025?
People would go through with, I mean, it would be like being on drugs and then getting off of the drug.
And happy birthday, Donna. I mean, happy birthday to you.
67, that's not all that old. She's a spring chicken, Donna is. Let's go to Arkansas. Toad Suck Scott. All right, Toad Suck, what's going on?
Hey, man, I hadn't talked to you in a long time. How you doing?
I'm good, good, good. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm good, too. I had a new knee replacement back in October, so I feel good. I can walk better now. Hey, you know what, Todd? We had a, I was growing up in North Carolina. We had a party line. And, man, you know how us kids are. I'd pick it up. I'd listen to these two old ladies, and they always talk every day. And I would listen, and they would go, you know, I think somebody's on here. And the other would say, I think they are, too. And I love that. And isn't that awful for little kids to do that? That's
well,
terrible.
These days the government does it, so.
Well, yeah, there you go. But we had the best time. Yeah, party lines were a big thing. This was probably, I was probably seven. So this would have been 66, 65, 68. So, yeah, they were, that's a big thing back then. That's all you had.
Well, I didn't realize they were still, I mean, I was born in 67, but I had no idea they still had party lines going on into the late 60s.
Well, maybe North Carolina was behind the times.
Well, it could have been in the South. Remember Green, I don't know if you remember the show Green Acres.
Oh, yeah, the pole.
They had to climb up the telephone pole to use.
That was hilarious.
That was great.
Yeah, but I just wanted to tell you that. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Toad Suck. Always good hearing from you, and appreciate that. And, you know, a lot of people, Ben Dieter, come up with nicknames. Like we have OG Bill. We have Toad Suck. We have Joe from LJ, who actually is Joe from LJ, so that's really
Oh, and Dark Horse.
Dark Horse, yeah, that's it. So we love that. So if you come up with a nickname, you know, be clever about it. And you know who we haven't heard from in a long time is Miss Janice from New Orleans.
Oh.
We need to check on her.
Maybe she's preparing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, she may be.
Yeah.
Or Mardi Gras. Let's go to Regina in Alto, Georgia. Hi, Regina.
Hi. Well, we had a party line when I was a child, and I guess, yeah, fifth grade, something like that. I was 10 years old. And we didn't have such a good time because we had a whole family that there were six girls in the family. We couldn't tell when they picked up on the phone and were listening in. But the next day when I would go to school and be on the school bus, they would ask me questions like, Regina, did your brother blah, 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 and did you, you know, giving themselves away, knowing, you know, that they listened to everything we said, so it was no fun because they had they were evil.
Wow. So they were listening in. They were gossips.
Yeah, they were, and I could not tell when they picked up. They had a way of doing it that
sneaky.
You couldn't tell when they picked up, but they really loved it. They got off on that. Thank you so much.
Regina, thanks for that story. Ben, I can only imagine what you were probably the kid listening in.
Oh, 100%.
You're collecting the dirt.
This is interesting. I am doing a deep dive on what a party line is because of the show.
Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have from East Tennessee Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger. And Congresswoman, we were talking about somebody called in and mentioned a party line. Did you have a party line growing up?
Of course I had a party line, Todd. Didn't everybody, when you're a certain age, you're a baby boomer, of course you have a party line. You've always got a snoopy, nosy little neighbor that wants to listen in, and I know exactly how to do that, too. Push the phone down real slightly and keep the line up. It's all good, buddy. I do know about what? It.
Wow.
I'm surprised. I'm a Gen Xer. So the whole point of the story was parents, whether or not they should be giving kids their cell phones at the age of 10. And I pointed out Ben Dieter, being rude, asked me if I had a cell phone growing up. And I'm like, we had landlines. We had no cell phones back in that day.
Did he know what a landline was?
No, Congresswoman, I had to look it up.
Man, bless you, brother. You need to spend some time with the baby boomer generation and, you know, a couple other generations, for God's sake. We'll teach you things you never knew. You didn't need to know.
I was trying to explain Green Acres and climbing up the phone pole, but that's a lost generation, I'm afraid.
Wait, oh, Congresswoman.
No. Petticoat Junction, that's good.
Oh, that's yeah. It.
When did you get your first cell phone?
Lord, I was, let me dwell. I remember when my husband first got a car with a phone in it. It was in the console, and it was gigantic. And I didn't have a cell phone until I was way in pharmacy school or out of pharmacy school. I mean, we couldn't afford such luxury. Are you kidding me?
That's it. That's wow. It. That's how it rolled. That's how we rolled back in the day, Ben Dieter.
All right.
Congresswoman,
Ben.
when we were your age. Congresswoman, we got a lot to talk about here. Of course, President Trump having the big prayer breakfast this morning. Yesterday, though, it was just so amazing to see. I was just really moved by President Trump signing that executive order protecting all those young female athletes. And what was that experience like?
It was awesome to see those young girls and young women standing behind him. They were there with their moms and you know, just the people who had made this possible that fought so hard to get them equal rights. I mean, who in the world ever thought that men in women's sports was a good idea in the first place? And now we're coming back to level ground and sanity, and common sense is ruling the day. And it was really special. I knew some of those young women, and it was a great day for women's sports.
You know, it's been so exciting, at least watching from a distance. What's the mood and the atmosphere like within Washington right now, and especially among the Republican caucus?
Yeah, we're as happy, happy, happy as can be. We're just ecstatic, you know. But the looming reconciliation, we have to worry about that. We have to worry about the appropriation bills and everything that's coming down the pike, and we got to get to work. But, man, the mood, Todd, is, if you know when you pass somebody in the hall, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, you can just look at their face and know, because they're just ecstatic that we have the trifecta, and now we got to use it for the good of the American people and deliver on the mandate that they gave us.
We do, and I think people are just genuinely surprised at the level of grift and corruption we're finding, you know, Elon and his team. So far, and, you know, now we're starting to understand why a lot of these news organizations are still up and running, because our tax money was actually being used to fund their operations.
Hey, can you believe that? And what was it? Politico got $8 million. You know, I'm waiting on them to pull the plug on NPR is what I really want. And you can tell when they get very defensive, even in the hearing today. Everybody was talking about cutting money from community health centers and doing all these things, and we haven't done any of that. But they are setting the narrative for the terrible things. When they go out and do those press conferences and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, it's because they have been had. And here we go. We've exposed them, and they're fighting for their lives. I mean, that was their honey jar, their little honey pot, that U.S. AID. And so now that that's been exposed, and it's kind of like that slut fund that they had up here that they'd keep everybody quiet when they had the promiscuous things that they didn't want you to know about.
Did you call that a slut fund?
Well, that's what they called it. That's a slang,
wow.
Man. It's a slang, Todd. It's not the slut fund. It's a slut fund. So there you go.
I'm with you.
You know what that means.
I'm learning all sorts of things from the Congresswoman.
Ben knows what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Wow. Sweet, Burge. You know what I'd be afraid of is getting you and Tim Burchett on at the same time. I'm not sure our radio audience could handle that.
Man, that would be so fun. We could bounce off these. I told him we need to do some kind of comedy skit, some kind of stand-up. Either that or a cage match, whatever. So I'm good to go.
Throw in John Kennedy. We could have our own version of Hee-Haw.
Well, I can understand every word coming out of that man's mouth. I can tell you that right
it's
now.
It's true. You know, this is funny because our Newsmax crew, they're from New York, and I have to interpret so much. You know, it's so funny. A lot of stuff doesn't translate below the Mason-Dixon line.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Todd. You're the sophisticated one that can bring some semblance of what this language barrier is.
I'm a missionary to the Yankees. It's, you know. So there you go. All right. Well, Congresswoman, thanks for hanging out with us today and playing along. It's so much fun. We're having a blast, and it is so exciting to see President Trump delivering on all these campaign promises. So it's going to be a great
promises
day.
Promises made, promises kept, buddy.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's time to make America great again.
I love it. All right, Diana Harshbarger, ladies and gentlemen, from the 1st Congressional District in Tennessee. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right.
She's great.
She is. Will she come back on again? after that conversation.
Oh, boy.
She called it slut fun. She asked if you knew what that was.
I mean, that is a, that's exactly what it is, though.
It is.
Yeah. And they've been selling us all out like prostitutes, unfortunately. We're all taxpayers. We're funding this stuff.
Sidewalk Sally's.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. We can work in a quick call here. Let's go to Louisiana. Bo, listening to us on our awesome KWAM app. Hi, Bo. What's going on?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Bo.
My grandma had a party line. There were six people on her party line. And it had a different ring. Her ring was two longs and two shorts. And that when we got that, we knew to pick up the phone.
So you had like a, so you knew that you had a specific kind of a ring.
Yeah, yeah. It was two long rings and two short rings. And she knew that was her phone ringing there.
Wow. Okay. That,
wait,
wow.
Bo, did they give that to your mother? How did the people get the different ringtones? Or was it house by house and you just waited for the countdown?
Come from the phone company.
Okay.
And there was a biddy on the other end that I always wanted to pick up and listen to everybody's phone call. So.
An old busybody. And you know they were gossiping. Mm-hmm. She knew everybody's prayer requests before Wednesday night church meeting.
And she was one of those that would go to the funeral home every time somebody died.
Oh, well. Wow, that's, you got to love it. All right, Bo, thank you for that. Let's sneak in Diane from Salem, Oregon, listening to us on the great KYKN. So, Diane, you guys had party lines up in Oregon.
Yes. I grew up in eastern Oregon outside of Ontario, which is right on the Idaho border. And this would have been between 1970 and 1974. We shared a party line with about five other people. And the story I have is that when my sister and I would be on the phone, these boys would get on the phone and harass us. They'd cuss or say naughty things and stuff. And we told our dad about it. And he said, next time they do that, you come get me. And so it happened, of course, and so we got Dad, and Dad got on the phone and said his name, and he said, I know where you live, and you ever do this to my daughters again, I'm going to come over there and shove your heads down the toilet. And they never did it again.
Yeah, no doubt. I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow, what a story. Again, I had, so up into the 1970s that the party lines existed. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, Diane, thank you for that great story. And it sounds like you got a great dad, too. Folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax. We're going to have a very, very busy show. Hope you join us. And you can, by the way, watch on your... So if you're still at work, you can actually watch on Newsmax.com. And you'll see the video there on the right side. Full lineup of guests. Congressman Addison McDowell is going to join us. Andy Biggs. Also, Senator Tommy Tuberville will be with us as well. And we're also going to be talking... to a campus reform correspondent about that crazy story out of UT Knoxville. We should have asked the congresswoman about the furries.
That was a lot in one interview. I don't know that we get Congresswoman Harshbarger back on the show if we ask her about furries.
I'm still working through slut fund.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We need to get t-shirts made up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do. You know what I did think it is? I think people are tired of talking politics, too.
Are you tired of talking politics?
I'm not tired of talking politics.
I am.
But I think people enjoy talking about other fun stories.
Like landlines.
Or party lines. That's
it.
Okay, it's been a lot of fun. Folks, we're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Head over to ToddStearns.com. Lots of great information, lots of great stories for you to read there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can download our podcast and join the Stearns Nation. Get out there. Have a great one, everybody. You be good, America.